Let's talk a little bit about Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, which is good to talk about every day of the year, but especially at this time of year, Yom Yerushalayim being tomorrow night, the day that we celebrate and we give Hodah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for allowing us to live in a generation where Yerushalayim is a destination, could be a destination. Yerushalayim is a place that we have all experienced. An amazing quote I heard in the name of Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, who said that when Yaakov Avinu wakes up and he's had his dream, and he wakes up in Yerushalayim, and he says, "Ein zeki and beis alokim is eshar shamayim." It says, "Beis alokim is eshar shamayim." It's just a nice one-liner. Was it beis and shar are two different things? Beis alokim, bias, a house is a place you go to. A shar is a place you go through. So what was it that he noticed? "Ein zeki and beis alokim is eshar shamayim." Was it a bias? Was it a shar? So Rav Aaron explained that it's both. Yerushalayim is a destiny, is a goal, is a destination. It's a goal itself. But it's also shar. He noticed that it wasn't only a place to be spiritually uplifted at that moment, but it was a place to use that experience to be able to go further high, and to go further, and to go through. And really, every spiritual experience in our lives should be both a bias and a shar. It should be every shir that we go to, every davening that we daven, every spiritual moment. Watch, and I recommend on at some time during your free time when you're not learning on tomorrow, Friday, there are so many wonderful videos about Yerushalayim online, whether it's about the Six-Day War, just watch the Har HaBayis B'Yadenu video, you know, and just any of them, just to help help appreciate, not just on an intellectual level, but really on an emotional level. So that's really what causes us to give a hodah. So as everybody should take our time to be able to connect, use Yerushalayim, but use every experience both as a bias and a shahr, to go to and to go through. What we're going to talk about is chosenness of Yerushalayim. I checked my records last year for Yom Yerushalayim. We spoke about the Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Today we're going to talk about the chosenness, Chiras Yerushalayim. Why was it chosen? What makes it so special? What is unique in its existence? So there is a legend which has no source, I have this like children's book about Yerushalayim, which I take out Shabbos before Yom Yerushalayim every year. So we went through a lot of the stories and riddles and trivia about Yerushalayim on Shabbos. So one of the stories there is two brothers. One brother has a lot of kids. And not so much money. Another one doesn't have any kids, but he has a lot. And every night, heard this before? Everybody shake your head. Everybody heard this? One brother, one that has a lot of kids, says, "Oh, my other brother is so lonely. He has no kids to help him." And every night, he used to go and bring a straw into his brother's barn. The other one says, "Oh, I have so much. My brother has so many kids. He needs help." So he goes every night to put straw in his other brother's farm. One night, they meet each other on top of the mountain. They realize what's going on, and they hug, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "That's the spot that's going to be my Beis HaMikdash." Wonderful. There's no basis or source for that story. It's a nice legend, nice Avas Yisrael story. That's fine. You tell your kids the story before they go to sleep. Let's say it's not a Medrash. It's not a Zohar, right? It's not even a Yerushalmi, right? It's none of those three. You can always say it's a Yerushalmi, so it's like nobody's ever going to test you on it. Except, you know, the few people that know Yerushalmi. But, yeah, it's Yerushalmi. It's somewhere. But nowadays we have computers we could check. But either way, that's a nice legend. But let's try to figure out from the sources what makes Yerushalayim so special. So just by way of introduction, in a number of general sources. The Medrash tells us in source number one that Yerushalayim is the center of the universe. Like the belly button is the center of a person. Just like a belly button is in the middle of a man, Eretz Yisrael is the belly button of the world. Eretz Yisrael, Bechulu. And from that spot, from that spot, the world was created. Meaning, if you think about Earth, Earth is a circle. So how did Hashem create? Hashem created the spot of Makam HaMikdash, and then created everything expanding outwards from that spot. That's the Evan HaShasiyah, stone that is the basis of everything. That is the source. It is the center of the universe, not just the center of the globe. But it's the center of the universe. The Sefer HaChinuch says that's why the Beis HaMikdash is there, because this is where Hashem started it all. And this is where the spirituality could be felt more than anywhere else. The Gemara in Zvachim tells us once Yerushalayim was historically connected to Am Yisrael with the Beis HaMikdash, so then spiritually, no more karbanos anywhere else. That is the final stop of Ashras HaShchina. The Shechina started on Har Sinai, went along to the Mishkan, wherever it went, and finally it came to Har Sinai, to the Beis HaMikdash, Yerushalayim, and that's it. It is the light of the world, right? Avram Fried made that Medrash famous. Source number four. Yerushalayim, Oro Shel Olam. Yerushalayim is the light of the world, right? It lights everything up. We might not see it because we have to have special eyes to see it, but it is Oro Shel Olam. There's something about the city that is Lamalam and Ateva, inherent in the Bria, right? The Gemara says the Yerushalayim Shalmala, Yerushalayim Shalmata, right? Inherent in the Bria is something unique and special about Yerushalayim. When David HaMelech, we know the story, when he was wanted to buy the land for the Beis HaMikdash, what made him choose Yerushalayim? What made him choose that spot to move out of Hebron, where he was for 7 years, king, and go to Yerushalayim? What made him do that? It was some magnetic pull. It was some sora, some pull, and that's the spot where the where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it. Did I give you the psukim? I give you the psukim in Sefer Shmuel. I gave you the psukim in source number 8. Yavo God al David bayamahu bayamalo ale came the Hashem mizbeach b'gor and aravna bayal David kedvarikok Hashem tiv Hashem. Hashem, he sees a malach and he goes to that spot. Again, it doesn't explain anything about the spot. He moves his capital. There's something inherent about Yerushalayim that has nothing to do with human input. Hashem, Baruch Hu created the world from this spot. Hashem chose that spot before the world was created. But there was also something that happened at that spot very early in history that poured spiritual foundations into that spot forevermore. And that, of course, was Akedas Yitzchak. Hashem Baruch Hu tells Avram Avinu, Pachnas Pinchas Yechidcha, go take your only son, not really your only son, Asher Ahavta as Yitzchak, Lech Lecha L'Eretz HaMoriah, Aleo Shem La'olah. Go perform the Akedah there at Har HaMoriah. You know it's the same spot, but in Divrei HaYamim it says that that's where the Beis HaMikdash was built. So you know that Akedah took place on that spot. Moriah is only mentioned two places in all of Tanakh, right here. Source number 9 and source number 10, by the Akedah and by the spot where the Beis HaMikdash was built. The beautiful Rambam, the Rambam tells us that spot where the Mizbeach took place, the Mechuvan B'Yoser. Mizbeach is Mekoma Mechuvan B'Yoser. And that's why, even if, let's say, we have the ability and all the Arabs leave tomorrow, we can build the Beis HaMikdash and Mizbeach, you can't build the Mizbeach without a Navi. Because you have to know the exact spot where the Mizbeach needs to be. Says the Rambam in source 11. Umisoris biyad hakol. It's a misora. Hamakom shebana bo David Shlomo mizbeach. The place where David Shlomo built the mizbeach. Hu hamakom shebana ba Avraham. That's the exact Avraham who built the mizbeach. It was okay to Yitzchak. Hu hamakom shebana bo Noach. When Noach went out of the teva, he built the mizbeach there. Umisbeach sheker alav kayin the hevel. Oh, he gave Adam a rishon karban. Is shenivra. When Adam was created, he gave a karban. One of the Ramban's raya is that Ramban has something to do with the Vodazara. He's born, I'll give a karban. You can't understand it. Why does that make Hashem happy? Kachazet, Adam, Ein and Hevel, Noach, and Yakeda. So it's a unique spot. So our question is, what makes it so special? Yes, there was something inherent about it from before the world was created. But maybe, as we'll see, the Akedah itself injected into Yerushalayim certain elements, and that could also help explain its spiritual status, help explain its spiritual status and nature. And if we learn messages of the Akedah, three of them to be specific, that itself can help us understand uniquenesses about Yerushalayim as well. So here we go. What is Yerushalayim? Not just Mitzvah Hashem. What did the Akedah put into that spot that we can learn from forevermore? Number one, Rav Dessler writes in Michta Melio, source number 12, Chelek Beis, Avram Avinu had unfathomable Mesiris Nefesh to attempt to perform the Akedah. With three contradictions that he had to deal with in order to overcome, to be able to do the Akedah. Number one, it says Rav Dessler, source number 12, Iharehi Kir Avraham, Shebeki Motziv Lizeh. Avram recognized that by performing this act, Yevatel B'Yistar B'Mo Yadav, Kol Mashet Paul B'Shetach HaRuchani B'Chayav. He is going to undermine and ruin every single thing that he has accomplished in his professional life forever. What has he done his whole life? No child sacrifices, one God, none of this type of avoda. Hu gier gerim, erlem lishmar derech Hashem, chesed, tent open. That's what his life was. We made me as a chesed. V'lachem neged avodas elivim, t'darshak rovas b'nei adam. And what is he going to do in one fell swoop, fell moment? He's going to undermine everything he's ever accomplished in his life. One challenge he had to overcome. Number two, and each one of these is unfathomable. Hashem promised him that this won't be. Hashem promised him, Ki b'Yisrach yikar l'chazara. This child is going to be a nation. Hashem says, kill this child. What? After it was done, he asked Hashem to explain. Not only, A, would it ruin his life's work, it would ruin his life, it would ruin his legacy, what was already promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, says Rabbeinu Bachai, he was going to have to overcome the unbelievable love that he must have had for his son at this moment. He can't try hard to fathom. I will, up on the next page. I will be in Yin Zesh al Akeda, Era Avraham, Tokif Avaso B'Shem Yisbarach. This act, he showed the unbelievable love that he had for Hashem. You can imagine it. And he saw in Azeh, there were 10 tests. This was not like any other tests. Nature can't fathom. Can't even imagine, says the Rabbeinu Bachai. 100-year-old man. 100 years old. Didn't have a child. And he has Osher, Nechasim, and Kovet. But he missed Abba, Leben, the Taklas Abba. He needs a son. And finally, he has a son. Ben Achar Yeush. Think about how much he loves that son when that son is born. Tichbal Abba Yosef Yosef. Imagine when he's 8 days old. The love is just building. And imagine when he's 5, when he's 10, when he's 35, when he's 37 years old. He has a relationship with him. He's learned Torah with him. He's helping him with his spiritual perfection. And now Hashem says, kill him. What does that do for somebody who spent his whole life of love? Imagine the natural love that Avraham had for Yitzchak. And he has to overcome that. Overcome the love. Overcome his life's work. Overcome a tzivui. You know what Akedah was? Unbelievable Mesiris Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch. That's what Avraham implanted in that spot. He even did a Bizrisus. I gave it to you. I'll give you the next. No, I didn't give it to you. He woke up early in the morning. We asked him about my poker. He was okay with it. I think I pointed out one of the underappreciated sukkim in all the Torah. All right, what is that? Yashkim Avram Aboker. Avram wakes up in the morning to do the Akedah. He was able to sleep the night before. Woke up. Imagine when we have difficulties and challenges, something that we're not going to want to do the next day. We can't sleep. Avram slept like a baby. Because he knew this is what Hashem wanted. That unbelievable conditioning of himself for the Mesiris Nefesh, because that's Avram Avinu. And that's what he implanted in Yerushalayim. The ability to be able to be Moser Nefesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to recognize that my life has to be governed for what Hashem wants. An amazing story, you might have heard it, about one of the the heroes of our generation, not on Sharansky. I mentioned this before. Might have mentioned this earlier, maybe on a Wednesday night cheer. Before he went into incarceration, read about him and realize how amazing his life has been. When he was going to go into incarceration in Russia, his wife gave him a Tehillim. She said, take this. He didn't know Hebrew. He didn't know what it was. His wife said, take this. He took it. Never let it go. He never let that Tehillim, you know, leave his pocket. He went on, they wanted to take it away from him. He went on a hunger strike. He didn't know why. He's such a super mathematical genius. Somehow he taught himself language based on mathematical equations and the letters. I don't understand how he did it. I have no idea. But somehow he taught himself Hebrew through how the letters like appeared in words. And he writes the first letter, the first pasuk that clicked, Nafal Ha Simon, as it says in this, as we say, the first pasuk, Am Keilech Begeit Salmavetz, Lo Yirarak Yatayim Adi. Because this is what I, there's something inside of me. P.S. Postscript, and it's online. Gal Ziegler teaches Tanakh in Yerushalayim. He says she was once on a Friday in the bakery waiting for her challahs online. And she sees right in front of her online, not that Sharansky. And she turns to him and says, can I ask you something? He says, yeah. He says, you know, I teach Tanakh. And whenever I start the semester, I tell the story of you and your Tehillim. And you were so connected to it. And you were Moser Nefesh for it. He reaches into his pocket. And he shows her the Sefer Tehillim. She says to him, carry it wherever you go? He said, no, I don't carry it. It carries me. That's the concept of Aketas Yitzchak. The concept of Mesiras Nefesh. A city that you walk the streets of Yerushalayim and you feel connected. That comes from the Akeda. Mesiras Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and living a life of Avodas Hashem. That's one thing we have to take out of Yerushalayim with us every single day of our lives. I'm going to skip a couple sources. We'll go to the second idea. Go to the end at the bottom of page 5. There's another element that the Akedah represents for us. And that is the clarity of communication between Hashem and man. The Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, Avram Avinu could have understood or misinterpreted the command of the Akedah very easily. Yeah, he didn't really mean to kill him. You know, he meant to kind of like maybe nick him. Maybe he meant to go on a teal with him, bring him up to the Mizbeach, and could have interpreted it in many different ways. Avram, when he came to Yitzchak, you know, Dad, maybe he misunderstood. You know, he promised, you know, I'm going to be the inheritor. You know, I'm not so sure. Maybe, you know, you're over 100 years old. Maybe you're losing it a little bit. Nothing. The clarity of communication between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and man. That's what the Akedah symbolizes, point number 2. Ba'inyan Hasheni, says the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, Lohodia Usanu, Eich Yaminu Anavim Be'emes Ashi Yavoam Eis Hashem Benevua. Velo Yachsho Bachoshe Bavorshu Bachalom Omar Kmo Shebiyano. Don't think that prophecy is not real. Don't think that prophecy is not actually man communicating. The Komashi Yira Anavim Anavua. Think about it. One of the Animamans, if you were writing the Animamans, some of them I think we would have written. Tzchar V'onesh, belief in God, Olam Haba, Mashiach. One of the Animamis is Nevuah. That's so important. You are writing the Animamins. Why is that so crucial? That Hashem, no, has Nevi'im. We'll get to that in a second, but let's first finish the Rambam. The Rambam says, Araya Alzeh, what's the biggest Raya of the clarity of communication? Iskim Avraham l'shchot no yichido, asher ahav, Moshe Tziva, Avraham Avinu. This wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu. He saw it in a dream. If he would have had any doubts of that communication, he wouldn't have done it. Lo hayu, v'lu hayu nevi'im misupakim b'chalom shel nevuah. Hayat from suffix. And he did it. That reflects clarity. That reflects that nevuah is a close connection between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why is it so important to know this? Because Animam and Bemuna Shlema, that man and Hashem have a connection and a communication line between them. One of the most beautiful thoughts that Rav Soloveitchik ever wrote, in my opinion. I mean, there's a zillion that I don't know. But one of my, I shouldn't say that. One of my favorite thoughts, that I could say, because that's pretty subjective. One of my favorite thoughts that Rav Soloveitchik ever wrote, it was in Isha Emunah in Source 20, where he discusses, where was tefillah born? Everybody davens, right? Adam daven, Avraham, they all daven. But when was the text of tefillah created? We know the Anshei Kedushas HaGadolah. Why Dafka then? Why were they the ones to formalize and formulate Fila? Says Rav Soloveitchik, and we'll see his words inside in a second. They realized, right, this was the beginning of Bayis Sheni, the end of, yeah, they realized Nevuah was finishing. They realized that there would be no more prophets. Is that going to mean that Hashem doesn't communicate with man anymore? Is that going to be the end of the communication lines? They did not. They could not accept the reality and man and God would not have a conversation. So they created tefillah. Tefillah is a hemshich of nevuah. When nevuah ended, tefillah started. So what does that mean? A conversation takes two people. There's always one person talking, one person listening. Nevuah and Tefillah are the same exact idea. It's just that by Nevuah, Hashem is talking to us. By Tefillah, we're talking to Him. I don't think he says this, but I'll add. And that's also part of the Animamin. Animamin that of Nevuah. Part of that Animamin of Nevuah is the Yisod of Tefillah that we talk to Hashem. And man, and Hashem listens to us. That's a conversation. And he communicates with us sometimes too. Writes the Rav in Source 20. Follow Shaldavar, Fila bin Nevuah, in Shtei Agdaros near Dafos. They're similar concepts. With Dusia Hanose, official Brisbane of Kim Adam. Fila said, Fila Nolda. When was Fila born? Ba'osa Shah Mamish, Bishakila said, Nevuah, Yilakisa. When Nevuah ended, Fila started. Tefillah didn't substitute, it continued prophecy. Tefillah he hemshich shel nevuah. That's unbelievable. Only difference is who's talking. And that's the second yesod of the Akedah and of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim represents clarity of communication, a place where we can talk to Hashem, and Hashem can talk to us. Something very fascinating. There is probably, if there was a famous uncleus, it would be this one. Right? In Parshas Bereishis, on the words Hashem created man and made him, Vayi Adam v'nefesh chaya. Right? Man is a live person. What does uncleus say there? He Havas Adam, Source 21, Ruach Mamalot, who's a talking spirit. Nefesh Chaya means a talking spirit. What makes man unique is that he talks. Think about it for a second. When man was created, who was he talking to? The talking spirit. There's nobody to talk to. He's the only one in the world. He's a talking spirit, but its essence is to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's who man is. It's a need. Right? When a person is alone in the house, some of us have a lot of time in our houses these days. If somebody's alone in the house and you bang your shin, what happens? We scream out. Who are we screaming at? Who are we talking to? If nobody's home, we're the only one home. Why are we screaming out? Oh, it's a knee-jerk reaction. But it's Baruch Hu put into us that we cry out. Cry out. I think I mentioned this before. It's hit me in the head just to add this. There's, in every language, there's a different word for father. Father, Abba, Atata, right? Every language, different ones. Different word for brother, different word for mother. It's the same shorish in every language. Mommy, Ima, Mama, maybe you know some other languages, which I don't know. But it's all the same shorish. Ma, Ama. Why is that? Muna. Ultimate trust is a baby with a mother. Mother is the life, is the reliant. The baby trusts the mother for sustenance, for protection, for anything. That's the ultimate purest reliance on another, is a child to a mother. And it flows from our trust, our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emunah has aim in it. And that connection is part two of what we feel in Yerushalayim. The direct connection I gave you, Reb Chaim, that tefillah is amidah lefnei Hashem, Torah 23. But I also like the diyuk that we've mentioned, 22. Remember that Gemara, that Yitzchak Avinu is bargaining with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, trying to protect Klal Yisrael, and Hashem goes to Avram and to Yaakov, and ends up going to Yitzchak. We mentioned this often, I'm not going to read it again inside. Yitzchak's bargaining, and he says, come on, Hashem, how much did they sin? Now, half the time they were sleeping, so take off, 35 years, only 35 left. And then half the time they were busy with their human basic needs. What's in the Gemara? What are the basic human needs? Eating, drinking, bathroom, davening. That's considered a basic human need. Because man communicates with God. And Hashem communicates with us. And that's the second idea of Yerushalayim, right? Yerushalayim is called by Yeshayo. Is tefillah yikare l'chol ha'amim. The essence of the Beis HaMikdash is the Beis Tefillah, the place to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All tefillahs, as we know throughout the world, all tefillahs go derech Zoom, Yerushalayim, and go up there. We Zoom through Zoom for the original Zoom is we dive in towards Yerushalayim. That's where the tefillahs go out. Number one, Yerushalayim, about Mesiras Nefesh. Avraham Avinu. Number two, it's about direct clarity of communication between man and Hashem. Last message. Third message. Rav Meidan, the Rav in Gush, he has an article about Yom Yerushalayim. So he writes there, source 26, Lekach nosaf shall see perzeh urachme Hashem agdolim alamu Yisrael be'esha ma'alcheles omedes al tzavaram. The knife was above Yitzchak. It looked like it was going to happen. And at the last second, Hashem says no. Regal Fesh Yitzchak Nishchat Ba'atzav Al Tishlach Yotchel Anar. Limeid L'doros HaBoam Al-Chem Latz Hashem Alamo. It symbolizes, no matter how bad things look, no matter how dark, Yerushalayim has the power to give the feeling to a Jew, Rish Baruch Hu, ultimately, going to be there for us. Afilu cherev chada, even though, remember, Gemara in Brachos, Chizkiyo didn't want to have any children because he saw that he was going to have a terrible Russia. Nasha was going to be born to Chizkiyo. And Nasha, one of the Rishon kings, committed murder. All these, he didn't want to have a child. He didn't want to have a baby. So Yeshayahu says, okay, you're going to die. Like, what do you mean? I see this benavuah. Yeshayahu says, don't worry about hidden things about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, you have to do what you have to do. He says to Yeshayahu, okay, let me marry your daughter. Let me marry your daughter. Maybe your schus and my schus will help. Yeshayahu says, the gzera has already happened. Our nigzer alecha gzera. Amarle says, Chizkiyo amelech. Ben amotz. Says to Yeshayahu, stop saying prophecy if that's your attitude. afilu cherev chadam unachas al savar shel adam. Even if a sword is on a person's neck, yiman atzmo min arachem and don't stop davening. One thing, there's no hope. Interesting, that imagery. Where did that imagery come from? A knife on a neck? I'm a foolish, but it sounds like the Akedah. That's the third message that we take with us from the Akedah. No matter how dark things seem and how difficult, Hashem Baruch Hu is always there. Hashem delivers us at the end. All Geula throughout our history has been preceded by a very strong, intense period of darkness. The Rav also writes, source 28, right? If you think about Rus and Tamar, all these stories of David and Melech's lineage, all about darkness, all about not believing. No Zlot. Hashem Baruch Hu is with us at the darkest of times. Even continues, though, in the Sefer on Tisha B'Av, verse 29. Think about Tisha B'Av in the 3 weeks and the 9 days. Think about that time period in history. It's somewhat ironic. When do we start feeling a little let up? When do we start feeling that the mood is changing a little bit? You have 3 weeks, 9 days, Tisha B'Av, and then what? When does it start to change a little bit? Tisha B'Av afternoon. We're already thinking about laundry. We're already thinking about music. Tisha B'Av afternoon. 1 second. Tisha B'Av afternoon. That's when the fire started getting even worse. Remember Rabbi Yochanan and the Gemara? If it was up to him, you would say the 10th day of Av should be Tisha B'Av. So why Dafka? Why Dafka? The afternoon of Tisha B'Av? Says Rav Soloveitchik. Ironically, at the time that the fire got stronger, that's when we, Soloveitchik said, Dafka on the afternoon of Tisha B'Av. It gets, I don't remember exactly the last thing I said, it gets lighter. Why is that? Because, explains the Midrashim, until the last moment, until the moment that the fire started burning, the question was HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to punish those who really deserve punishment, meaning Jews, or was he going to take a mashkel? Is he going to take a collateral? Because he was never going to break the bond that he had with Am Yisrael. So Dafka, when the fire was set to the wood and the stones, Dafka then we recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will never leave us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always be with us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if Cherev Chad Munachas Al Savar Shal Adam, will always stay with us. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky even writes, source number 30, maybe that's also part of throughout history, after a darkness, there's always some type of light. He writes, HaKamas HaMedina, right, the founding of the state of Israel back a few years after the Shoah. Where does that come from? Because that's the symbol of Yerushalayim. That's the symbol of hope, even in the greatest of darkness. So Yerushalayim for us, yes, there was something about it before the world was created, even before human beings affected that spot. But the Akedah put into Yerushalayim, imbued in it, three other ideas for us also. Mesiras Nefesh, Avraham Avinu did for overcoming the three challenges. The connection we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Nevuah, through Tefillah, the direct clarity, and the Siman that Hashem will never forsake us. Even Cherev Chadim Unachas Al Tzavar Shel Adam. If you think about it and put it all together, the first idea is Mitzad Us, our Mesiras Nefesh. The third is Mitzad Hashem, Hashem will never forsake us. And the middle one is about the connection and the communication that we have with each other. Finally, one last point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kept it a secret. We know Yerushalayim is not mentioned in the Torah. First place the name word Yerushalayim is mentioned is in Yehoshua and Perek Yud. Why didn't he tell them? Why didn't he show us? Rabbi Amel didn't even know where Yerushalayim was. So if you remember Rashi at the beginning of Lech Lecha, Hashem didn't show Avram Avinu Eretz Yisrael either. Why? L'chabava al baila. L'chabava be'inav. To make it beloved in his eyes. That was all of Eretz Yisrael. Maybe Yerushalayim as well. Yerushalayim as well The more that we yearn for it. Avraham Avinu yearned. Where is it? Where is it? Let me see it. Hashem wants us to yearn for it. The Steve Shalom writes in his, one of his Sfarim, the more we yearn for it, Baruch Baruch Hu is saying, okay, I'm waiting here, I'm waiting here. We say, Kilishuascha kivinu kal hayom. Kilishuascha. Yeshua is going to happen when there is kivinu. The more kivinu there is. Let us take this week to remember and reinvigorate ourselves by recognizing the special qualities of Yerushalayim, to recognize what it means for us. Hey, Rav El Hashem, we should all be zoche to go there soon, right, and not be quarantined, encapsulated, and all of these other words. Hashem, we should celebrate in Yerushalayim, Yerakodesh, in Hey, Rav Yemein.